Okay, good morning, church. Thank you for a beautiful worship experience. And Nick, for reading that passage of Scripture. You've heard that Scripture read, I know, many times. And often when you read it, you think of, well, now I know what love isn't. And so now we need to talk a little bit about what love is. You know, the world has a way of taking the concept of love and just sort of twisting it around and confusing it, and you know, you can walk away from experiences and definitions of love and be disenchanted by it. All of us have been burned at least one time or other in our lives because of love, or at least what we thought was love. And some of us, maybe it takes a while to recover or to heal from that. And that's because we base our perception or our concept of love on a very worldly idea of love. You know, in the English language, the word love pretty much covers all the way from chocolate brownie to the puppy dog that you just got at the pound to your spouse or somebody that you say you love. However, in other languages, and especially the Greek language, the word love has many different definitions. There's agape love, there's phileos love, there's phroneo love. There are many different words. And it's interesting in studying the Scriptures, and especially the New Testament, how that word is used in different perspectives, different ways of describing this thing that we call love. You know, in Romans chapter 5, if you want to take your Bibles, there's a Bible in front of you there on the pew in front of you if you'd like to. Take a look at Romans chapter 5. The same author that wrote 1 Corinthians, the author, of course, being Paul. And in chapter 5, I'd like to just focus on verse 8, chapter 5, verse 8. And it's interesting because I noticed it was on the screen, too, during our worship time. It says, but God demonstrated, when somebody demonstrates something, what does that mean? How do you demonstrate something? Through your actions. Isn't that right? Usually, you show them. You make an example. You draw a picture. You write a song. Something that demonstrates how you feel. Okay, how that love is expressed through our demonstration. So it says, but God demonstrated His. I like this, own love. I like that emphasis on own love. In other words, He owned it. It was His personal love. Okay? Something that nobody else can have, nobody else can own. Only God owns that love. And He demonstrated His own love for us. And that for us is emphatically, it's specifically for you and for me, sinners. Okay? Sinners but loved by God. It was demonstrated by God that while we were still sinners, while we were still sinning, okay, in the process, while we still had the sinful nature, which if you haven't checked lately, you all have. You can't wash it off. You can't take a shower and scrub it off. It's in our DNA, you see. But while we were still sinners, what happened? Christ demonstrated His love for us. He died for us. He demonstrated it. There's nothing better, nothing more exciting, nothing more dynamic, nothing more meaningful than love that is demonstrative. Try that on a spouse. Try that on a girlfriend or a boyfriend or somebody that you potentially would like to show love to. Demonstrate. You can talk all you want. Talk is cheap, as they say. All right? Talk, 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 talk. But when you demonstrate that love through an action or writing a song or a poem or by the words of our mouth. You see, you go beyond that by an action. It becomes demonstrative. So it's been demonstrating our love. And so God demonstrated His love for us that while we were still in our sin, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now take that passage of Scripture and hold, put your finger in there and go over to 1 John. John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And I'm going to pick it up because we're going to go back in 1 John chapter 3 and 4 in a moment. But I want to just drop this bomb on you, okay? 1 John chapter 4. By the way, I'm not dropping it. John's dropping it. And of course, John is considered the disciple of love. You see, Paul was a theologian. Paul was a guy that got it technically right. You see? Thank goodness for him, right? For all of you that are into technical things, all of you that are into having a list, having things exactly right. Paul did that for you. John, on the other hand, is a different creature. In fact, who was standing by the cross? Who stood by the cross? Through the worst and darkest hour of the life of Jesus, who stood by the cross? Paul? No. Peter? James? No, John. John stood there. Okay? I believe John fully understood and truly understood the agape love. Okay? He stood through the thick and the thin. And that, of course, the passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians 13, talks about that love. Love is patient, love is kind. Love, it never gives up. It's always there. But here we have in chapter 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse 16. And so now we know and rely on the love of God, that love of God has for us. And what was the love of God that He has for us? So while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, so let's keep that in mind, those two passages. So now we know and rely. Do you rely on the love of God? Do you? Or do you rely on something that you can do? Or some special formula that somebody has outlined for you? Some checklist that somebody has made for you? Well, I hate to tell you, but you know, I'm 62 years old and I've looked at a lot of checklists. I've had a lot of checklists described to me, prescribed to me. I've been to seminars where people had all these things that you do and don't do to enter the kingdom of heaven. But I can assure you that there's really only one. All right? Only one. And by the way, when Jesus was asked, which checklist shall I go by? Which commandment is the greatest commandment? You'd think that Jesus would have chimed up and said, well, of course it's the, you know, it's the first commandment, or it's the fourth commandment, what did he say? Jesus said all the laws can be combined and boiled down to two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. I didn't say that. Paul didn't say that. John didn't say that. Excuse me? Jesus said that. And like I said before, even this week, well, Pastor, and none of you said this. Well, Pastor, all you talk about is love, love, love. Yeah? Oh, yeah. Sure. I didn't say it. Yeah, I talk about love because that's what Jesus came here to demonstrate. He came to show the love of the Father. He came to show the love of the Holy Spirit. He came to show the love that He has for us. Oh, so. And so we know and rely on the love of God has for us. God, there it is, underline that, circle it, put a big star next to it, whatever you need to do. God is what? Oh, you see, Pastor didn't say that. The television evangelist didn't say that. The Word of God says that. And you can go by someone else's formula if you want. And there's thousands of them. That's why there's thousands of religions. Because everybody wants to circumvent the love of God. And they want to show you, if you want the love of God in your life, if you want to experience the love of God in your life, if you want to be sure of the love of God in your life, here's what you need to do. And they'll do a whole series of meetings and seminars on how to get to the love of God. When you know what? It's right there. It's there for the taking. By asking Jesus into your heart and into your life. It's as simple as that. Oh, but Pastor, there's a few hoops you got to jump through. Oh, yeah? That's not what my Bible tells me. My Bible tells me that whoever lives in love lives in God. Sphere. In other words, what I like about this is that God's love is not out here. It's here. It's right here. We're living in God's love. All right? Locative of sphere. That's a Greek concept. I know those of you that studied English, and you will be soon. You'll have to take English again when you're in college. It doesn't go away. It's always there. And they'll talk about the different, you know, aspects of the sentence structure and the past, present, and future. You are in God's love, and God is in Him. Okay, let's read that again. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God is in Him. Do you get the? Do you understand it? Not only are you in God, but God is in you. I know that's mind-boggling. What are you possessed by this morning? Oh, Pastor, let's not go there. What are you thinking about right now? What's going through your brain right now? Oh, I got to look at my phone here. It's ringing. What possesses you every single day of your life? What do you spend most time at? What do you spend the most time thinking about? And when you have a quiet moment, what do you think about during those quiet moments? What are the priorities of your life? You ever sit in, I have a side patio now. It just finally got completed after the first millennium. We have a brick patio. Sat out there last night. All the dogs. I don't have grandchildren. I have grand dogs. All right? Ryan and Katie are in the process of looking for a home, hopefully closer to San Diego, because my son works down here in the fire department. And so they have two dogs. I have two dogs, and then I have a step dog. That's the oldest one. Aaron's been with us, 16 years, maybe. And then we have one of Ryan's dogs, and then we have these other two dogs, and they're all trying to get on my lap. Because I'm outside. Dad's outside. Let's go jump on him, you know. And I'm thinking, I'm sitting out there in the cool of the evening, looking up at the stars as they're starting to appear. You know, the sun is gone just about, you know, almost completely gone. And there's these stars starting to pop out. And I'm beginning to think about God and His love. Does He love me? Really? Remember we talked about the expanding love of God? Evidence that there is a God of love is the fact that the universe is constantly expanding. It's God's way of saying, I love you. The world that we exist in, it's got some pretty bad aspects. But that's because you're watching television. You're constantly on your iPhone. You're constantly on your computer. Get away from that stuff. Go out and just look at the world, or just look at the nature. Look at what God's done around you. The little hummingbird that comes flying past you. You're sitting out there and he comes flying past you. He's looking for his last flower, his last drink of nectar before it gets cold and dark and before the night. And he comes running over to this fake flower sitting in the backyard. It's pretty, it's colorful, but there's nothing there. So he zips off to another, finally finds a flower, gets his last drink, and I think, wow, you know, God made those little tiny buggers, man. They can really fly. And they're so beautiful. And you know what? They're amazing to me, because if they're hungry and they can't find, when there's no flowers, you know, different colder weather, they'll come and stand, they'll fly right in front of you like this, like, hey, give me a drink, give me a drink, give me a drink. They seem to know that I will go and get them some nectar water, put it in their little thing, you know. God is love. He is the source. He is the very essence of love. Why, for the life of me, we look at everything else. We go chasing after all kinds of fake lovers. We're always chasing, looking for love. Look, 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 look. When it's right here, we're in His love. He is in us. Comprehend that. Comprehend that. Imagine that for a while. If you can get away from your electronic jibber jabber. I like electronic stuff as much as anybody else does. But I'll tell you something, folks. We are the generation that communicates the most and knows the least about each other. We think that just because we're on Facebook and just because we're twittering and twattering all day long and just because we get buzzed every couple minutes because somebody wants to say something cute about us or about something we put on, that somehow we're communicating. Sorry, we're not. We're not. And I hate to tell you this, but God's really not interested in your email. I hate to tell you, He's not. He's not. And He's not interested in your Twitter. He's only interested in your personal communication. He doesn't need a cell phone. He doesn't need a computer. He doesn't need high technology. He has technology that's so far and so beyond anything that we can imagine. He can hear the prayers and the thoughts of everybody at once in the universe. And all He wants is to know you. Actually, all He wants is for you to acknowledge that He exists. It's amazing to me that I see couples at restaurants sitting next to each other, talking to each other on cell phones. Not saying anything to each other. It's all... and they're talking back, or they'll show each other. Look, 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 look. Psychologists are going crazy right now, I can tell you. I know three of them. Their office hours are taken up with people that don't know how to communicate because they have bought into the electronic communication to the point of where they are addicted. It is one of the worst addictions that they say they've had to deal with. It is the worst. God wants to know you. Do you want to know Him? Really? Do you? He reveals Himself very openly. God, wow, God is love, it says very clearly. Verse 17, in this way love is made complete among us. Love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Well, maybe you've forgotten there is a day of judgment. There is a day of judgment. And the only way you're going to have confidence, the only way you're going to have confidence in the day of judgment, it says right here, is to have no fear. Wow. We can't do anything in this world without somehow getting people all charged up about fear. Over, you know, fear. Fear drives us. drives the election, it drives wars, it drives society, it drives relationships, it drives all kinds of things. But guess what? What is it that comes along and takes that element out of our lives? What does it say here? Did you read your Bible? It says that perfect love, agape love, God's love, the divine love, it is what drives out fear. Do you know what the greatest poison and toxin in your life today? You can go to a doctor, if the doctor knows his stuff. You can go to a counselor, a psychologist. You know what it is? Fear. Fear. That's what messes with us really bad. And I'm sorry, this is where I separate myself from some of my own brothers. I'm not criticizing them. My own preacher friends. I separate myself. I refuse to use fear to get people to love God. How crazy is that? Fear to love God. If God is love, God is the center of the whole universe. It is out of love that He created this world. It is out of love that He sent His only Son. It is out of love that He's coming back again to take us to heaven. And we use fear to get people to love God. How counterproductive is that? How many of you here that if I were to get up here, I can do it. I come from four generations of hellfire and brimstone preachers. I know I could create so much fear in your life that you would go away, your head would be spinning. Doesn't take much. Fear. God is not fear. God is love. Fear, love drives out fear. It doesn't bring us to God. It chases us away from God. Do you know what legalism is based on? Do you know what legalism is? If you don't know what legalism is, then you're totally zoned. Because our entire judicial system is based on legalism. I mean, whether you like it or not, it is. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that for everything that you do wrong, there's a consequence. And you fear that consequence. You should. The ones that don't fear it, guess where they are? Right? Okay. So you know what fear is. When you're driving over the speed limit on the freeway, and there's a car coming really fast, and he's usually black or white, and he's coming really fast, and you know that you are over the speed limit, what's the first thing that comes into your heart, into your mind? That'll be obvious. If you brake, then that's a big red sign that says, I know I was going fast, so come and get me. No, I don't think, yeah, I think that, but no, I back off in the accelerator and try to act nonchalant, like, And then he goes right by you and you go, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for not... He's after somebody else. You're laughing and I'm laughing inside too because that happened to me just a few days ago. And you're thinking, what am I going to tell this guy? I never argue with him. I always say, you're right, sir. I'm sorry. I was over the speed limit. Sometimes that works and other times it doesn't work. Other times you get this yellow sheet of paper that says you need to appear. But the love of God is the exact opposite of legalism. Legalism feeds and breeds fear. You can walk into churches today that I can tell you right now that it is so cold and so icy and so fear-ridden and so legalistically driven that you could ice skate into the church. Seriously. It's sad. Because everybody is operating under a false understanding of what God is all about. God is not about legalism. God is about love. And if you love God, guess what? Your life is going to come into harmony with His love. And when you understand His love, and His love is in your life, and it is acting through you, and it pours through you, you become a loving person, a gracious loving person. I add grace, because grace is the way that God shows His love for us. That while we were yet sinners, He died for us. You get it? So perfect love. You want perfect love? Yeah, I'm not talking about the other love that we see in the world around us, the love that burned us, the love that hurt us, the love that ripped our hearts out and threw it away. I'm not talking about that kind of love. I'm talking about pure love, love that comes from God Himself, that we can live in. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like Him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And it's so natural for us we gravitate towards checklists. We gravitate towards sensationalism, excitement, fear-mongering, as I call it. We love that stuff. We just lap it up like it's the nectar from heaven. We love it. Our human nature says, I got to be whipped into line. I need a spanking. Did you ever ask your parents for a spanking? Usually you got it because you deserved it. Usually. Not everybody, but usually. I know I did. And I would do anything to avoid that spanking. And it was, you know, the spankings, they hurt, but not, they weren't that bad. I mean, I've experienced a lot more pain than I ever got from a spanking. The spanking, though, was an expression of the fact that I blew it, I messed up, I did something that was inappropriate, I did something that was mean and evil, and I didn't like that. I wanted affirmation, I wanted love, and I always got it, sometimes in the form of a switch, but I always got love. I get it. God loves us, and what does the Bible say? Sometimes He chastises us to show us He loves us. Do we deserve to be chastised? Yeah. Yeah, we do. Now, this new pop psychology that says, you know, you can't show your children your unhappiness or your disapproval, that you need to always be positive and you need to always show them, you know, it's not working, folks. It ain't working. We've had decades of it. We've had decades of that kind of psychology in child rearing. And I'm not a child beater. I never beat my kids. In fact, you know what's amazing about my boys? They're big boys now. Wouldn't work anyways now, but a little wooden spoon. You know, you use for cooking. Somehow that was a choice of what to use on the leg at a 2-year-old age. Terrible twos. Actually, the terrible twos weren't that bad. I may have used it maybe only once and very, very lightly. But all I had to do was go to the kitchen. I would say, stop. Please stop what you're doing. Usually 3 times I would say that. I would get the eye contact. I would, don't do that to your brother. 3 times. And then all I would do is I would say, I'm getting the stick. And I would walk to the kitchen. And the drawer that had the wooden spoon, I would rattle it. That's all I had to do. Boom. Boom. Fear. As parents, we wish you never had to do that. Never. I bought into that whole thing. You know? Just love, love, love. All we need is love, love, love. How many generations have we been singing that song? Did it do any good? No, because we don't understand the purity of God's love. Because we don't allow ourselves to get close enough to where He can really, truly whisper in our ear, I love you. We keep Him out here. We just, you know, God, that's enough. That's my comfort zone. Don't come any closer. Don't come any closer. Because inside that comfort zone, God, I have this really twisted idea of what love is. The world has twisted it and messed with my mind. So I don't really want you into my life. Just be good, be God out there. Okay, you're God, I believe in you. I trust you, God. But just stay right there. But God says, I want to be in you. And I want you to be in me. Wow. Wow. Yeah, you can't comprehend that. Try. I've spent 62 years trying to comprehend that. Can't. Don't get it. But it's truth. Whether I get it or not, it's truth. And the Word tells me it's truth. Okay? Perfect love drives out fear. How many people are going to vote this year on the basis of fear? Both sides. I don't care who they are. Because we're humans. We love that concept. But God, well, He doesn't operate that law that way. The law of love is the law of life. Being in harmony with this law, according to the scriptures here, will bring life eternal. It will bring healthy life on this earth. It will bring happiness. I guarantee that. Wow, that's a big deal, Pastor. That's a big deal. That means that if I tap into this pure white, pure divine love, the essence of God's character, that means that, oh, okay, I'm never going to get sick. I'm my life is just going to be one big party, and I'm always going to be happy. Nothing bad's going to happen to me. I'm going to have all the money I want. Is that what I said? Is that what the Word said? No, the reality is that we live in a very unhappy world and a very dangerous world. You know why? Because when sin came into this world, we were torn away from God's pure love, and we became fearful. The opposite of love is fear. That's what my Bible's telling me here. And so when you bring love back into your life and you stop fearing, it's going to have an effect on your life. By the way, if you want some good some data, some information, statistics, I got some, but I'm not going to spew all that out to you. I'm just going to tell you that it's statistically proven, medically, psychologically, it's proven that when a person, listen to this, when a person spends time in comprehension and meditation and study of God's love for them, that their life, their minds will begin to heal. People that have been through incredible trauma, people whose minds are full of fear, when they begin to comprehend the love of God, when they begin to meditate God, not meditate on emptying your mind to some emptiness, like a lot of meditation is, but when you meditate on God and His Word and His love for you, and you study His Word, your mind will heal, and all of us stand in need of healing today. Mm-hmm. All of us. There's something we need healing from and for. Guarantee you. And the only way you're going to find that healing is to comprehend and to meditate and to study on God's love for you. And you read the last part of the scripture, the bulletin. We got a lot of negative things about what love isn't. And I don't know how, you know, when you were reading that, you were going, yeah. Listen to this. Love is patient. Love is patient. It's kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. You know, God's love is not self-seeking, by the way. You can love Him or you can leave Him. What he really wants is for you to tap into his love. But he's not going to force you. He's not going to wring your arm. He's not going to whip you into line. He wants you to love out of pure, pure love. How many of you want your kids, those of you who have kids or grandkids, how many of you want your kids to love you out of fear? Huh? Anybody? I've never had any takers on that. As many times as I've asked that question, I've never seen a parent say, I want my kid to love me because he's scared to death of me. So what makes us think that God wants us to love him out of fear? And there's a lot of fear-mongering religion out there. Let me tell you, folks, the spectrum is broad and wide. It permeates through many of the heathen religions. It's big time in heathen religions. It's big time in Protestantism and Christianity. But that's because we don't understand God. We don't understand God's pure love for us. Love is not easily angered. Boy. What is it? I always tell the people when I'm counseling for marriage, I always tell them, you know what? As I sit here, I am not your counselor. I am not your pastor in the sense, I mean, I am your pastor, but I'm not here to wave some magical wand. I'm telling you that you are going to fight. No, pastor, we will never fight. You're silly. No, you're going to fight. I'm not a prophet. I'm telling you, humans, when they're together for any length of time, no matter how much you love and gush over each other, the fact is you are going to fight. Any relationships here where they haven't had a fight? If so, man, you're ready for translation. Just like Enoch. Bye. What do you know about Enoch? He loved God. And God took him. Love, here it is, okay, is not easily angered. It's not whether you're going to fight or not. It's how you fight. If you're going to fight mean and nasty, then your marriage isn't going to last. Guarantee you. I've seen enough of them, I know. On the other hand, if you can learn to fight fairly, you'll last forever. Guaranteed. You'll last forever. And fair fighting doesn't mean that one backs down and grovels like a dog. That's not fair fighting either. Okay? Fair fighting is being honest, straightforward, in love, saying what needs to be said in love. In love. That's why God said what he said to us in love. People go, hey, you can't keep the Ten Commandments. No, you can't. Guaranteed you can't. None of you can. Even the legalists who think they can, down deep inside, they know they can't. And that's why they're so full of fear for the judgment. Because they're basing their entire salvation on whether they can live up to God's commandments or not. Uh-huh. So, love keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. And what is the truth? The truth is that God is love. The truth is that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. So there you go. It doesn't delight in evil and rejoices with the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Can you put a check mark by all of those that you kept all of those perfectly? Did you get that? You guys that like checklists, put that on your wall or on your phone or whatever. Do you always protect the purity of God? Do you always trust in God? Do you always hope? And do you always persevere? The Bible tells us that if we persevere to the end, we'll be saved. What do we persevere in? Persevere in relationship with God. You walk out of that relationship, you're not persevering, are you? You're walking away from it. And you know what you're walking away from? You're walking away from God's love. That's what you're walking away from. Okay? Always perseveres. Wow. So why do you love God? Why do you love him? Out of fear? Because you don't know anything else? Well, here's a good reason. It says right here. Take a look at it. Verse 19. We love. Here's human thinking, but it's okay. It's okay. We love him because he first loved us. He first loved us. Oh, you think you loved God first? Don't kid yourself. Nah, didn't happen that way. Somehow we think that the one that loves first is, you know, that, yeah. No, God loved you first. He loved you first. He loved you before you even knew what love was. And he still loves you, even though you might have a messed up concept of love. He still loves you in spite of the fact that maybe you don't really understand what love is and can't somehow comprehend his love. But he still loves you. He hasn't given up. And even when you turn against him, even when you turn your back on him, even when you wander off with that lover that you think is perfectionism that's going to get you to God, even when you do that, he still loves you. And he still tries to get you back. Still tries to bring you back into his love. To the very end, to the very end, he will always be in love with you. The question is, will you be in love with him?